Hello.
Hey.
Sound check, sound check.
Mic check.
The connection speed between you is medium.
Is that good?
I don't know. It's fast enough for medium quality calls. Each one of you should close file sharing programs you have open and stop any downloads or uploads to speed up your connection.
Well, that screws up you, right? Because you're always downloading stuff.
Anyway, I got that huge torrent server that I have here for all the furry porn.
So how you been? How come you didn't show up last week?
Good. I don't know. It was vacation. I didn't know. I sent an email to see if we were recording and no one responded, so I assumed we weren't recording.
No, we don't always check our email. We never get messages.
Yeah. See, I check mine because I just have all my email go to the same place. So.
Well, you had a big break. You had 2 weeks off. Did you accomplish a lot?
Oh, I did.
I'm glad.
Cleared a lot of snow off my driveway.
That's what you did?
That's what I did every day.
Nice.
I don't remember what else I did. It's all a blur, you know? Mostly I was just not at work. That was the important thing. Oh, yeah, and Christmas. There was Christmas in there somewhere.
And now you're back. Back at work.
Now I'm back at work, yep. Back to the grind. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Here was my fun. So I got a couple of new PCs for the lab that I had to put in. And I was putting them in my...
backpack?
My fanny pack. No, my I was putting them in my rack where I have all my machines.
Okay.
But I needed to move one of the shelves in it because there wasn't enough room for the PCs. But in order to move the shelf, I had to take half the stuff out. And then I had to put the stuff back, and then I had to figure out how to wire it all and put a KVM switch in, and it was a lot of work. It was exhausting doing all that physical manual labor. I was crawling around on the ground trying to run wires everywhere. It was exciting. It was a good. That's nice for a change of pace every once in a while, though.
Yeah, it is.
Get you away from the desk and
that's right.
Away from the computer screen, and you actually get to do something for once.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. And I read comics, too.
You read comics. Do you remember what they were?
What?
Do you remember what the comics they were?
Some of them. I do remember some of them. So how was your break? You had 2 weeks off, too, right?
I had a good break. It didn't accomplish a lot, but it was needed for my ear, so.
Right. I heard you said that it's getting better now.
Yeah, it's at least stable. I mean, I don't think it's going to get any better. But
you said you could hear more frequencies now?
No, I can hear more voice recognition, and the frequency stayed pretty much the same. Which is good, though, because you can treat voice recognition with the hearing aid. Or you can bump up that stuff. But I can hear well enough, so it's still hard when there's a lot going on, but there's not that many situations where there's a room full of people.
Yeah, in those situations it's hard to hear even with good hearing, so.
Yeah, you just shut down.
Too much input. So is the ringing gone now?
No, that's always stayed the same. But I've gotten used to it, even to the point where like I don't even notice it at sometimes.
Yeah, at some point your brain's gonna filter that out.
Yeah, my brain is
It'll adjust.
Is used to it, and unless I think about it, then I know it's there.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy, this human body. And these viruses. It's all Barb's fault, you know. She's always talking about these viruses.
Yeah, it's because I went swimming in the lake with Keith.
In the Chigger Lake.
The Chigger Lake.
Chiggers jumped off of Keith.
That's right.
Swim right into your ear. Right off, straight from his ass to your ear.
Oh, no. That's not good.
A to ear.
So Mike is trying to find a dog.
A new dog or trying to find a lost dog?
A lost dog.
Whose dog?
I think it's Claire's sister's. So I don't know if he'll be joining us, but he has technology where I can reach him and he can text us back.
Can't he live Skype us on during the pursuit?
He probably could because he's got the phone and he's always logged into Skype now. Do you know what I mean? Like right now he's showing up on Skype, but he's not there. He doesn't answer.
So he's ignoring you.
Yeah, he's ignoring us.
I have better things to do. That sucks if your dog's missing.
Yeah.
It's not a good situation.
So welcome to Geek Brunch.
Welcome to Geek Brunch.
To help you find your dogs.
Episode 190 something.
197? I don't know.
98?
97.
We're 97. Three away from our big 200 show.
There you go.
Celebration.
Extravaganza. did you? I put you in charge of planning at the start of that.
That's the one to go on. So far, I've decided that it's going to be called Episode 200.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I'm glad I put you on that.
And we're going to do a podcast. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
You're always very articulate in detailing the episode notes and making sure that we say our lines.
Making sure you get your scripts ahead of time.
Bill writes our scripts. So if you don't like what we have to say,
blame me.
Send email to bill@comicbooknoise.com because he writes every line that I say. When to say it. Like I see a little green light and it says it's your turn.
And when he gets it wrong, then afterwards he gets a nasty email.
And a buzz, like a little shock to my pinky finger. But he's the writer of the show. He even wrote last week's episode and he wasn't even there.
You guys did good. Filling in for me. Barb did agree to read my part, but she backed out at the last minute.
Yeah, she did. Especially when you started talking about dicks hanging.
I cannot say penis that many times in 2 hours. Yeah. I refuse.
That's when she dropped it and said, I don't want to read this. She got tired of trying to do your voice. She did try to talk about elevators a lot, though. She was planning on it.
Oh, she had her whole... I know, I feel bad all the research she did on elevators before the episode, but she could have gone through with it. It was her decision. She's no one to blame but herself.
What buttons to push and everything. How not to panic.
She knew the procedure. She had the procedure down.
What are you going to do when elevators become obsolete? We have teleporters.
Teleporters? I guess I'll have to study teleporter technology. That's actually an interesting idea. I'll write that one down. I claim ownership of that idea.
You should Google it right now or Twitter it. Because that's what Google does when they have an idea, like, we got contact lenses that'll measure your diabetes. You just say, well, I got a teleporter to replace all elevators.
Send that to the patent office?
Send it to the patent office.
Then in the future, if anyone uses any teleporting technology,
they have to pay
you. They have to pay me. That's what you need to do. So you just got to brainstorm some cool terms for teleporting and patent them all.
That's right.
And then if someone or phrases, and then if someone uses one, bam, money. Like happy birthday. You can't say happy birthday without paying some dude some money.
I've been saying it a lot. I sang it yesterday.
I hope you got your checkbook out. Or podcasts, right? You can't do a podcast and put it online without paying some dude.
I don't pay anybody.
Well, some dude's trying to sue people for that, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because he got a patent on like uploading
podcast,
like recording media and making it distributable online or something.
Oh, I ain't gonna pay it.
Yeah, that's not gonna last too long, but whatever. He has a patent. Sometimes people get patents on things that are just kind of ridiculous. So.
General patent.
Yeah, try and cover everything. Sending text online. That's my patent.
Using the flip phone. That's your patent.
I can receive texts.
Yeah, it just costs you $100.
Well, that reminds me, I need to buy some more minutes.
Why? Who texted you? I'm always afraid.
Someone texted me last night, and I think they used up all my $50 of credit. My wife even got a fancy phone.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. Christmas.
Just passed.
What'd
you get for Christmas?
I don't see the need. What'd I get for Christmas?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I got some stuff.
That you can't talk about.
And I don't remember.
A banana thong. Banana hammock.
Banana hammock? Oh, man, I don't need any more banana hammocks. 16 is plenty. What did I get? Son of a gun. I don't know. I got some stuff. Lots of stuff. Not lots of stuff. I got a few things. Probably some comics. The usual. What'd you get?
I got some comics. I got a Hawkeye Gentle Giant bust, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And an Iron Man one.
You post those?
I posted the Hawkeye. The other one I just picked up last week because I went to Albuquerque.
What'd you go to Albuquerque for?
Just to visit family, because we didn't go down there for Christmas.
Yeah. Where'd you get
it? I was gonna go to the Albuquerque Comic Con, but because it was such a short trip and it looked like it was really packed, I decided not to go.
Like when you drove past it or something?
No, I saw somebody post a video, like they just walked through the con.
Okay.
And it looked like a mosh pit. And I was like, you know, I was just going there for a couple hours to buy some, like, comic pages and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to deal with that much traffic if I was only going to be there for, you know what I mean? I didn't want to pay $20 and then spend half of it in line.
Right. And by the time you get in, you have to leave.
Hope I can get to the place I need to get. Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
Were you going to see a specific creator or something?
Yeah, I was going to go get another shadow page from Aaron Campbell.
Okay.
Either that or a Green Hornet page.
Where's he from? He must be.
He's from Albuquerque.
That area. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What kind did you see him at last time? Was it the same one or?
I saw him at the Albuquerque Comic Expo. I saw him at the Heroes Con. He was at Heroes Con.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been to a con in a while. I'm waiting. There's a couple in the spring though, so.
Yeah.
And I found out we're going to, we always go to Florida over March break because my mom has a place down there. But this year we're, last couple of years we drove, but this year we're flying, and we're flying into Orlando, and we're probably going to go to Universal, and before we go to my mom's.
Yeah, nice. That's fun. Me and Barb had a blast there when we went there.
Where? Oh, Universal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks cool. We'll probably go to Universal and then Islands of Adventure, which is right
there.
That's where we
were at, yeah, the whole thing. Those rides are pretty awesome. I don't know if they changed them at, but that Spider-Man ride, if they still have it, is sweet.
Yeah, I think they still have the Spider-Man one.
I know they have like a Transformers one now.
Yeah, they have a Transformers 3D one. And they have a Minions one.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Potter is the big one, one of them. But so, I found out after I got the tickets that we're coming in like a couple days after the Orlando comic book convention, like MegaCon maybe, something like that.
Yeah.
Like a couple days after it, like we're coming in, flying in like on Tuesday, and the show is the weekend before. So I'm like, dang. If I had known, I would have flown down early, gone to the con.
Yeah.
And wait for you guys. Wait for my family to arrive.
You go to Baltimore this year. That's what you should do.
Is that a 2-day one now?
3-day now.
Oh, it's 3-day now?
It was a 2-day.
Yeah, I've never been out that way. Or, haven't been to that show anyway. Been out that way.
So what'd you read over the break? You have to read something that, like, blew your mind.
I read a few things that were awesome. Let's see. Well, I'll start with this one. So I decided to... So I have several series that I collect in trades that they have many trades out, but I've only read the first couple. And they just keep coming out, and I keep getting the trades, but...
You don't read them?
With the plan to catch up, but I just never get around to catching up.
So it's like buying a monthly comic that you don't keep caught up with.
Right.
Except you're doing it in trades.
Yeah, I think there's three that I do that with. Fables, I'm way behind on Fables. Walking Dead, I'm behind on. And Invincible, I'm behind on. So I decided to start reading Invincible. Because I get the hardcovers, because they're really nice. The big hardcovers.
Yeah, I was getting the hardcovers, but then I like you, was like... God, I've only read the first one. And I have six on the shelf. I'm not going to order 7 and 8.
Yeah, so that's the situation I was in. So I'm like, damn it, I'm going to... Because I think I read the first two and then I didn't read past it. So I'm like, son of a bitch, I need to work through these. But it gets intimidating, right? Because when you have 8 hardcovers, it's like, oh, that's a lot of books I have to read.
Yeah. So there's like 14 issues in each one, or is it more than that?
I think it's 13 in each one. 13 plus a bunch of back matter. And then I think a couple of them have like specials or whatever. So I decided just to start back at the first one because it'd been a while since I had read it. So I've read through the first two now, and I'm started on the third one.
Oh, you started over again?
Yeah, because I couldn't really remember. I decided just to start back at the beginning.
Damn, I'm impressed.
It had been a while since I'd read it. And I remembered the basics of it, but I didn't remember the specifics, so I wanted to
You wanted to dig back in.
Yeah, refamiliarize myself with it. So Invincible, I mean, it's been around for a long time, obviously, since 2005, maybe earlier than that. 2004, maybe. I think that, and that was Kirkman's book before Walking Dead.
I think Mike is here.
I finally showed up.
I heard a little bleep.
Yeah, he showed up.
Oh, did he ping you?
I just saw a message. I think it was to both of us. You should have it.
I don't have it.
I think you could add him.
I can add him.
So Invincible is about this kid who is the son of a superhero who's an alien, kind of like a, not really a Superman type thing, but pretty much like a Superman. He's like this invincible kind of dude. And it starts when his son has just started getting his powers, which is when he was like 17. And then it goes on from that point. So him getting used to his powers and learning how to kind of be a superhero. And then there's, at the end of the first hardcover, there's a twist, which I won't talk about, even though it's almost 10 years ago.
No spoilers. Are you there, Micah?
I'm here.
Hey, Micah, I'm talking about Invincible.
I read Invincible for the first 70 issues, maybe?
You're way ahead of me, then.
Bill read it, and he's reading it again.
Oh, okay.
Because he's gotten old and he can't remember shit.
So now I'm up to about issue 26 or so. Yeah, something like that.
I read up until the crossover.
And did you really enjoy it? Like, are you going to jump into the third hardcover? Or is that going to, like, are you going to let it wait a while and then you're going to realize, wow, I have these 8 hardcovers.
That's right. And I'll go,
I don't remember what happened in 1 and 2. I'm going to start over again.
Yeah, I should probably just buy the first 2. That's why I just buy number 1, so you've caught me. Because I figure by the time I get to number 2, I'm just going to go back to number 1. So I street number 1's over and over and over again.
Hey, but you did 1 plus 2 this time. Right. I'm impressed.
I did 1 and 2.
You broke the mold.
I'm going to go on to 3. I've been reading some other stuff in between, but I'll, because I don't want to read it straight through. So.
And you did that over the break?
Yeah, 1 and 2 I did over
the
break.
You were just staring at your bookshelf of Invincible. All the hardcovers
all my
you haven't touched.
Yeah. All my sealed hardcovers. So I'm going to finish through this, and then I don't know if I should do Fables or Walking Dead next.
Fables.
Yeah, I'll probably do Fables. I'm further along in Fables. I think I'm...
Are you going to start off with Volume 1 again?
Yeah.
No, Volume 1 wasn't that good.
You're going to start with Volume 2.
Yeah, I'll start with Volume 4, because that was awesome.
Is that Animal Farm?
No, that's Soldier
Boys.
That's
Volume 3, isn't it?
Okay. That's about where I'm at 4, and I just haven't had time to read any others.
Yeah, I'm further than that.
What else you got? Catch us up on this holiday break.
Okay, I read Deathmatch, Volume 2.
Was that the conclusion?
No, this is the second one. There's one after this one.
Oh, because somebody was... Bob Breitel was texting me about that.
Yeah, I think the last issue just came out recently.
And he was disappointed. And he's like, Mike, you got to finish it.
Well, I got to say, the second issue, second volume is awesome. So this is probably numbers 4 through 8. I think it's... Yeah, because it's probably 12 issues. So this is the story where... There's a bunch of superheroes or superpowered people, both good guys and bad guys, who are in this building of some sort, and they don't know how they got there or why they're there, and they're being forced to fight to the death one at a time. It's kind of like a bracket. So two people go in, one person dies, and whoever lives goes on to fight the next person. And in this one, it gets down to... What are they down to now? Let me look at the bracket at the end. So they're down to... Oh, yeah, they're almost to the end. So there's only 6 people alive. So they're trying to figure out... And in this one, there's more... You learn more about why they're there and how they got there and a little more about the history of some of the characters. But it's really well done. I like that it's a mystery, and I like how they get into the dynamics between the different characters. Because some of them, especially since they're both heroes and villains, so the interaction between them, now that they're kind of on this even ground in this place. And when they're in the place, they don't have any superpowers. That's the other thing. Until they go into the battle arena, they don't have any, they can't use their powers. So it's good. And the art is awesome. It's Carlos Magno who does the Planet of the Apes stuff, right?
Yeah, he does. He's really good.
It's awesome. Very detailed, kind of like Juan Jose Rip.
Rip.
Yeah. So highly recommended. I love it. Let's just see what I think of the ending. How far are you in that, Mike?
I'm about where you are, I think. Okay. I think I only got like 3 issues or 4 issues left. I like it a lot. I have to refresh my memory because it's been a while, but...
You should just start back.
I'm not going to start back at the beginning. I can't. That's the point of no return.
And a lot of the characters are cool. A lot of them are kind of analogs for... big two heroes. Like there's one girl who's kind of like Batman, and she has her Joker type enemy. And then there's like a Rorschach type kind of guy. It's good. That's good stuff. I also read Storm Dogs Volume 1.
That's David Hein.
David Hein. That's an awesome book too. That's the one where there's a team that goes to this planet, which is kind of like the last outpost planet of the Federation or whatever they call it, to investigate some murders, and they run into a bunch of weird stuff while they're there. And so on the planet, there is a planet where the Federation, whatever, I can't remember. I'm just going to call them the Federation. I don't remember what they're actually called. The Union or something like that. Are doing a mining operation on this planet. And there's two native species on the planet. I can't remember their names. But they're kind of like a symbiotic almost. Two cultures. One that doesn't speak, but they team up. They pair up with a member of this other species, and then the member of the other species does the talking for them both. So it has a lot to do with politics. You get into politics near the end of it, and there's some freaky sci-fi technology. It's cool. It's well done. I'm enjoying it. Apparently, I enjoy ones that have like a mystery storyline to them.
Yeah, I want to read that. I think I read only the first one because it was free on Comixology or for 99 cents, and I never went back.
It's a book you have to pay attention to. I will say that, to follow everything that's going on, but it's good.
So when you get volume 2, you have to go back and read volume 1.
I might have to. I don't know if you could read this in single issues, because I don't know if you'd be able to remember everything that's going on in it. Uh-huh. So it's a good one to read in trade or in collection.
I just want Avengers number 83. Yes.
Is that the first appearance of someone?
Of Valkyrie. I think it's the first appearance of the Lady Liberators, too. It just so happens to be the ones that I'm reading, so I was just every now and then I'll, you know, if I just read 80 and 81 and now I won 83. I gotta still read 82, but I haven't won that one yet. I like David Hein. He's good. I like him on Cross too.
Yeah,
I got to get caught up in Cross, man. I am so far behind because of the. They're twice a month, man.
I know they're pounding them
so
out.
So 6 months, and you have 12 issues.
I did read. I haven't finished reading it. I got the special. Is this special? I
think it was the annual.
Special. I think it was a special, not an annual.
Simon Spurrier?
Yeah, Simon Spurrier's special. And I got about halfway through it. It's good. It's real good. It's about it takes place in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy who drives a semi with a bunch of trailers hitched behind it. So it's kind of like this, and they're like all armored. So it's kind of like this big train. And he drives out across country and he picks up this couple that's out in the outback. And then it's about he has this whole hierarchy on his train. It's just him and a bunch of women. And he's like the
oh, so he has alpha some male. Good sex with all the women. It's like a little harem.
Yep, essentially. So, and then
you could come in my truck if you provide me favors.
That's pretty much it.
Well, I'm just thinking like the crossed.
And he
even though he's not a crossed.
He's taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, he is.
Well, as you said in the past, Crossed is mostly about the weird things that people do in these situations and how screwed up people are.
Mm-hmm.
And how this brings the worst out of people. And the good thing about the Australian one is you don't have the Scottish accents to try and work through.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even finish that one. But it's weird how, because I read that one out of sequence. Like, I didn't read the Simon Spurrier Wish You Were Here before I got to that. So it was really mind-numbingly hard to understand.
Yeah, what was going on. Yeah, it helps when you know which characters they are.
Yeah.
So what did you read, Michael?
I haven't been reading a lot lately, which is weird for me.
What happened to your...
But I've been doing a lot of stuff, like with my family and stuff. So let's see. When I was in Albuquerque, I read a lot off the iPad because it's just easier at 3 a.m. to turn on the iPad and not wake anybody up with the lights. And I read... Ghost. I finished reading Ghost Omnibus from Dark Horse, right. Which is one of the Comics Greatest Worlds or what? I can't remember what they launched, but it had
something like that.
Ghost and Catalyst and all that stuff, and King Tiger and all those characters. And Ghost is in Arcadia. I think that's the same place where X is. Because each one, the way they were launched, their heroes were by location. So like Barbed Wire and so-and-so were in this city. And X and King Tiger and were in Arcadia, I mean with Ghost. And
what was King Tiger in? Ghost?
King Tiger did show up in Ghost, but I think he had his own... Maybe he didn't have his own title, but you know how each week they came out with a different one?
Yeah.
They were like a buck. I remember they came out really cheap. And I think they were in the same city.
Okay.
Because they were grouped by city when they first were released.
Yeah, I never really read those ones. My brother did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not something that like will blow your mind, but I really enjoyed it, especially being that I'm currently reading the new Kelly Sue DeConnick Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, it gave me a lot of... Even though it's like a relaunch, like X and Ghost are relaunched, and you could see some of the similarities, you know? It's like probably like reading Exo Manowar, like the new one, and then comparing it to the old one.
Right, where there's similarities, but it's independent.
Yes. I had mixed emotions on it. Like, some issues I found out were really, really, like, I really enjoyed them, and then I'd hit an issue, and I was like, oh, what the fuck is that there for? And then, but I just kept pushing through, and yeah, it was a pretty good omnibus. I had bought the omnibus, like, when it was on sale at Dark Horse one weekend or something, and I bought Volume 2 omnibus, and I'll probably dig into that one next. But her whole concept is she doesn't remember anything. She comes back as a ghost, and she will phase through anything. So she has to, like, sleep on these jade things. So, like, jade is the only substance she could, like, lay on, at least initially. But eventually she learns she could turn to look normal. Like, she can look normal, and she can teleport through, like, her own private hell. If she needs to get from one spot to another spot, like, immediately.
Okay.
But when she goes through hell, it's like an eternity in there. And then she finally gets to her, and it's like not even a second has transpired. Do you know what I mean? So she's like has to fight through hell to get where she's going, and then she's there. But in real time, it just happens.
Right.
And then she has a sister who's like a real sexual, and she was into porn and all that stuff, and she's trying to get her out of that. And she has parents who are drunk, and she's try to help them out. And I think she lost her sister and her parents at the last issue, so now I think it's like a good stopping point for the omnibus, because I think it's going to be like a new adventure. And then I read Black Widow number 1 from Marvel Now. Marvel Now Now. Is that what they call it now? Now? Now, now, now? Black Widow was... Phil Noto was the writer. I think Edmondson or... God, I can't remember who did the writing. I'd have to look it up. But... it was really well executed. I just didn't like it because I don't. It just seemed really out of character for what I know about the Black Widow. I'm not a Black Widow expert, but I knew she was an assassin and killed a lot of people in Russia before she became a champion and an Avenger, which she started to not kill people, and now all of a sudden she's back to killing people again, and she's doing it in a very weird mode. So I don't know if I like it all that much. I'm not continuing. I did the Bill Bomer first issue challenge, and I decided not to continue.
You didn't do the 3-issue challenge that you usually do?
I might get number 2 off the shelf just because that's my nature, but I don't know. I'm trying to cut back. I just was real curious on this title.
Well, it's like there's so much stuff now. It's like if the first issue doesn't grab you, then unless later you hear really good things.
There's nothing wrong with this issue, though. Like, it was really good. Like, the art and the story. Like, Nathal Edmondson, I think he's been working at Image, and he's done a couple of cool titles. Like, I think he did The Activity, if I remember. But really, really good put-together comic, and I just didn't like the direction of the character. And the same thing could be said for all new X-Factor. That's Peter David's relaunch. Really well done, really executed well. The only thing I didn't care for is I've never been a Gambit fan. He's one of the major characters, and Polaris is the other, and Quicksilver. They decide to go work for a company that is like IBM, except they do good things supposedly for the community. But there's some like mysterious thing going on where you're like, maybe they're not. I don't know. But it's just like an introduction to it, an issue number one.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for the direction of that either. So I don't think I'm going to continue with that.
Yeah, I haven't read those yet. I haven't got those yet. So
The Witching was fantastic. I had read 1 through 5. I got those in a dollar bin, if I remember correctly, or 50 cent bin. This is a Vertigo title.
Talking about the old? Yeah.
Let me see who's the creative team.
I think you talked about that before, didn't
Jonathan Vankin and Gallagher. I had read 1 through 5 while I had went to my comic shop and bought the rest of it. And it was fantastic. It was really good.
Yeah, I think I have some of those, but I don't have all of them.
It's really good. Like, once you read them, like, it's a series definitely to sit down and I wish I would have read them all back to back. Do you know what I mean? Like, just one sitting, read all 10 issues. But I read them in halves. Like, 6 months ago, I read 1 through 5, and then now I finished it. But it was really good. It's about 3 witches that come together at the end. There's like an occult organization that's looking to destroy them, led by a general that's in White Sands. And, man, the general is so hilarious. Like, he has a mouth on him that you wouldn't freaking believe. Like, he just cusses and yells at everybody. Like, this is just a snippet. It says White Sands Missile Range, New Mexico, and he's talking about Elsa Grimston, who's one of the witches. That she's got a weird situation because her father was killed, and she can talk to the moon goddess and all kinds of weird shit. And he's trying to take her down, and he's like, Elsa Grimston, goddammit, you are a cocksucking motherfucking mine. And then it says, you know, one of his soldiers says, we're finished, General. And he says, I can see that, goddammit. Do these look like ox testicles in my head? And he's like, oh, no. Goddamn right. They're eyes, and they still work. I can scope a pair of D-cups at 600 meters. Now, where's the goddamn witchfinder general to activate this contraption? And then some other dude comes to him and says, there's been a delay, General. Seems the administration has deployed the witchfinder unit to Iraq. What the fuck? Goddamn delay. Sweet jizzing Jesus. I mean, he's just like, I never liked that Peckerwood anyway. Get this shitbox fired up, then get your asses ready for the arrival of Elsa goddamn Grimston. He's just like, he's such a trip, man. And it has Lucifer Morningstar, which I think is tied into the Lucifer that's in, you know, the Vertigo, because he looks the same. Like, there's a title by Mike Carey called Lucifer.
Right.
I never read it, but I think it's kind of indirectly tied into Lucifer. But and then there's this one of the witches is like has a boyfriend that's a successful like punk rock band, and she's trying to be successful as like opening up for him, and her witch powers are kept in like this cute little kitty thing. What is that kitty that is in all the stores? What is that thing? Micah had a
Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty. Yeah, it's like a Hello Kitty stuffed animal that she has all her witch powers in. And then the other witch is like an Asian girl that was brought up by her father, who's really, really powerful, but she doesn't know how to use her powers. And she had I don't know, it's really complicated. You really have to read the series. It's good. Really good stuff. I guess the last thing I want to just mention is Forever Evil is still really cool. Like, I'm enjoying that. It's a lot focused on the crime syndicate and Lex Luthor and his band of villains trying to go against the crime syndicate. And Batman has some really good dialogue with Catwoman. because he's one of the only heroes that's left right now. That's some really good stuff. Forever Evil number 4. And let's see, what was the other thing I wanted? Oh, Lady Rawhide 1 through 3, which is from Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good series. She's like a female Zorro with a very similar background. Like, she's just trying to help people and, you know, fight the Spanish. I can't remember where they're from, but it's like California. She's trying to fight them, and there's like a woman organization that likes to rob stuff and, you know, for justice because they were wronged by the current government there. And the only thing that's weird is it never explains why she dresses the way she dresses. Like, it's just weird. Like, I know what it is. It's for dudes to buy the comic. Usually they have some kind of reason.
Some kind of lame explanation.
Yeah, some kind of lame explanation, and this they never mention it. So, because her costume is, like, not stealthy at all, or, you know, like, at night, it stands out like a sore thumb. And if you're trying to be, like, sneak into some place, like, wow, it's like, wow. And the last book is Jennifer Blood, First Blood. I read 1 through 3, and that's a Dynamite comic, and I think I talked about the regular series long time ago. It's like almost up to issue 40 or 30 or something, and this is the mini series, like 1 through 6, that was telling her backstory. And Jennifer Blood is pretty much a mafia daughter, kind of like the Huntress, who had a bunch of uncles that were in the mafia, and then one day her dad does something wrong. He's in the mafia too, and all the uncles decide to take him out, so it's a whole vengeance story. And the uncles believe they had killed her as well, so she comes back as a different person, and she has a family now. She's got a daughter and a son and a husband who she drugs every night. She puts sleeping pills into their hot cocoa or into their meal, and it hits like 10 o'clock or 10 p.m. or midnight. She takes off. She's got a secret compartment in her house that has just weapons up the wazoo. And then she goes after her uncles. And it's a story of how she's taken out uncle by uncle. And she has been trained by a lot of her uncles to be malicious and stuff. So it's like they trained her to kill them later on. And it's a pretty interesting comic.
What'd you say this one is called?
Jennifer Blood, First Blood.
Okay, First Blood. Who wrote that? Is it still...
Let me see if I have a copy here somewhere. Oh, I have my database right in front of me. All I have to do is type it. It's by Mike Carroll, and artist is Igor Vitrino. And this was a Garth Ennis book. So this guy took off and filled in the origin a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Yeah, I thought someone was doing it originally. Yeah, Ennis.
Those were the highlights. I even like Lady Rawhide a lot. That book's having some shipping problems, though. I read 1 through 3, and it seems like it's been solicited forever, so... Micah.
Yes.
How's the dog?
The dog was fine. He just didn't give a fuck about coming back to anybody or whatever.
Was it at your house or?
No. What? Okay, so we went out. I had all this plan today. I was gonna go to lunch, and then get back in time to do the show. Cause I was late last week and missed an episode or whatever. So I was like, we're gonna do it on time. So go out with Claire's sister. We go to eat lunch. And then partway through lunch, she gets a call from her husband, and she's like, the dog ran away. And we're like, well, that's weird, right? So we drive over to the house, she lives like 2 minutes from where I live, so we go to the house, and like where they live, you can drive through part of the neighborhood, but at a certain point, like there's all these backyards and stuff that you can go through, and then it goes into another neighborhood, and all that kind of stuff. And so the dog had run off through the backyards, through into the next neighborhood, and like down into like this little. Like it's like it's not a wooded area because like there aren't that many trees there, but it's like not no one since no one owns it, it's not taken care of, and so she's running around all through this area as happy as she can please. And whenever we finally find her, instead of coming back like she normally does or whatever, she just runs off some more and didn't want any part of it. So
I've made my decision. I want to be free.
Yep, it's like no more of this. And eventually we found her and had to pick her up and bring her back to the house.
What kind of dog was it?
It's a mutt of some sort. It's
a small dog or small, is it?
It's
a big
small
dog.
Not like Chihuahua small, but like.
Like some kind of small terrier?
Yeah, around that size. Cute dog.
That could screw up your day.
A little bit.
Were you running through backyards, jumping over fences?
Oh, totally!
Almost landed in the pool.
Right, were you screaming out names like the dog's name?
Just the names of any dog I could think of. Yeah. I wasn't yelling out names because I didn't want to confuse everything. I was just on the lookout because that dog wouldn't come to me anyway. That's not true. She would, but
you were yelling out in Japanese.
Totally.
I don't think
she knows my voice. I wasn't sure if like how useful it would be for me to continue to yell while everybody else is yelling as well. So by everybody, I mean one other person, but still.
Were you wearing a hoodie?
Of course. It's a little chilly out there. It's like 50 degrees. Gotta stay warm.
50 degrees and I'd be sweating really bad if I was running around chasing a dog. I sweat in 12 degree weather. Me and Harley go walk out in 12 and that's part of the walk. I'm sweating.
Might want to walk some more then.
Maybe.
What have you been reading, Micah?
Let's see. I finished the Hal Jordan part of Green Lantern. Basically, the last two issues are him trying to kill everybody, and then just not to kill everybody, but like. He rips off Boudicca's hand or whatever at one point in time, and it's like beating up everybody in the Green Lantern Corps, and then kills Sinestro by snapping his neck, and then kills Kilowog, and then jumps into a lantern as a crybaby. So that was finally over, and I started the Kyle Rayner parts. So
because he's frustrated with the Coast City,
yeah, Coast City explodes, and so. He's mad about that, so he goes to Oa to fight it because he's mad. And he like beats up all the Green Lanterns and takes their rings and then kills Sinestro because, you know, he felt like it, I guess. I mean, once he kills Kilowog, he's like, oh no, I'm a bad person. And then jumps into the giant lantern. He's a baby.
They retconned all of that.
Yep. He couldn't have Hal Jordan be an awful person, so they gave him a parasite, because nothing he does can ever be wrong.
But even, I think they retconned the deaths, because the deaths were like, they were all on Mogul's world or whatever. Or Cyborg Superman's world.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them were like chained up and they were still alive.
Yep. So basically, nothing Hal Jordan has ever done has been wrong in the history of Green Lantern comic books. So, but we've done a Kyle Rayner, who Gant that just drops in on his life, gives him a ring, and says, good luck. And he immediately starts fighting bad guys. And mostly getting his ass kicked, because he has no idea what he's doing.
Did you already get to the refrigerator scene?
No, not yet. I know that's coming up, though. I'm only two episodes in. Like, Mongol, just two issues, whatever. Mongol just showed up.
Are you reading this digitally?
Yeah, I'm reading them on my tablet. I got all of it. It was much easier to do that than pick up all these old issues. Put all this shit in a box.
Yep.
Scan them all in. No more reading. No more picking them up. And then losing your... having like the stack of like 75. When you have like an old run of books, like trying to read an entire run of a comic book series is super freaking annoying. Like, especially when they're all like bagged and whatever. So you take one out of the bag and you do it, and you put it back in the bag, and you put it back in the box, and then you take the next one up and you do that again. And then you forget where you put the one stack because you're carrying the stack around with you from room to room in the house. And it's like, fuck this. So.
And then you get to one where there's an issue missing, and then you know you have it somewhere and you have to go search for it.
Yeah. Yep. All that. All that.
Or you just end up you don't have it and you thought had it.
A year or two ago, listen to you.
Mike has to go on eBay and try and get it.
Yeah, no, that's annoying. I think I might have mentioned it, but like a year or two ago, I scanned all my books.
I don't think you mentioned that.
I didn't mention it? Yeah, everything I owned up until a certain point, I scanned it all in because I was tired of... like.
And by scanning, do you mean you went online and downloaded it?
No. For some things I did because I was like there was too much in a row, but for like if it was easy to find... I did that, but for a lot of the books, I had to scan them in myself because they weren't online.
That's a lot of work.
It's a pain in the butt.
It is a pain in the butt.
You should have got Knutson to do it. He's really good. He's really good with his scanner, especially when he's drunk.
it was a pain in the butt while I was. I guess it's similar to like when you catalog it or you're trying to do the whole bag and boarding thing, sort of like do all your books. Like, it's annoying when you have to do it, but the ability to now not. Go like to not go back into that box again, like that's fun. It's like I want to read this. Wait, I have it. And instead of having to I put them all in my Nook. So not all of them. I put some of them in my Nook because there's too many. Like their files are too big to have like everything on there all at once. But so like if I want to read a run of something, I can just go and drudge that up and stick it on my Nook and read them that way, as opposed to dragging out like 40 issues of Icon because I felt like reading Icon this week, you know. Especially for things that aren't traded and they don't have hardcovers and that kind of stuff, like it's easy for me to read Alzheimer's in Store Run because I have it in. I mean, that's a really big book, but like I have the hardcover of it, so if I ever want to read it, I can just go through that. But picking up like 40 to 50 issues of something is a hassle. So no more of that for me.
What else did you read?
I read some really, really boring stuff for school. It's school started up again, so now I have this class where I have to read about stuff, and God, it's really boring. What the teacher selected for the first few readings for this class are the kind of things that make you like just want to skip school and go like hide in a ditch somewhere and come out again. Like, really, really boring, historical pieces on stuff, like, and things that are actually interesting. Like, the thing is, like, the topic of censorship in Japan, like, colonial censorship in Japan, or imperialist, or whatever, however you want to describe it. Like, when the Americans were censoring Japanese media right after the war, in, like, the mid to late 40s, like, it's actually an interesting topic, and how they chose to do it, and the methods in which they chose to censor, like, they were, like, the America was the first regime to ever censor the idea of censorship before. Like, because usually what happened a long time ago is when you censor things, you would just black stuff out, right? Like, and people would know that something was censored, that, like, who whoever was in charge didn't want this thing to get, like, and you couldn't read it, but you could have an idea, sort of, like, what types of things were not being talked about. But when America took over, you couldn't even know that things were censored. They would not let the idea of censorship get out into the public. So you couldn't write about a lot of things. You couldn't write about the negative, like, you couldn't write negatively about America in any sort of way. And you also couldn't mention ever that you were being censored. And so, like, there's this whole, like, occupational presence that, according to a lot of history texts or whatever, doesn't actually exist. Because, like, if you watch movies from the 1940s, or set in the 40s in Japan, you'll never see American occupation, even though they were everywhere. Like, all the movies weren't allowed to show you American occupation and that kind of stuff. But the texts that he took, like, wanted us to read about this are, like, these boring, like, trivial, like look-backs, like, very history book, like, and then in 1946, this guy took over the censorship bureau, and he said, these are the rules, and let me tell you the rules of things that were and were not censored. It was really dry. But, like, that time period is interesting to read about, because, and the only reason we really know about it as much as we do is because they have long, detailed list of what was to be censored and what wasn't, and what and, like, who did the censoring and who was censored and who they got fired. Because they would, like, if you were ever write anything negative about anything, not only would you get censored, but you'd probably get fired from your job. They would just come through and, like, kick you out into the streets. So, fun times for everyone. But that's mostly what I've been reading. I also read, because someone gave them to me, because they didn't like it, I read the Cataclysm shit that's going on in the Ultimate Universe right now. And it's as bad as I thought it was going to be, so... Galactus is back on Earth again and is wreaking havoc. Surprise. News at 11.
Hey, curiosity.
Yep.
What are they going to... Now that Spider-Man's over, what are they replacing your subscription with? Or is your subscription over?
I'm done. No, it's over. Yep. I had to end up buying the last two issues because my subscription ran out right before.
Oh.
So.
I was wondering what they'd do if...
They usually just transfer it over to another title.
Yeah. But I don't want
it. Yeah, but that's bullshit.
Yep.
What if they transfer it over to something you don't want?
Well, they ask you, but... Like,
I don't think they ask you.
If mine was still going, they would have automatically transferred it over to the Cataclysm Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, right? Those three issues.
Yeah, because I think, like... Did Justice League Dark, that got canceled, right?
Yeah.
I think that subscription got just switched over to Justice League.
They will, like, if you don't write them or call them or whatever, what you will get is switched over to the most similar title, or what they deem is the most similar title. Usually they don't try hard. They just look at whatever's next alphabetically and do that. Like, or like with Spider-Man or the Ultimates, if any of those, or X-Men, right? Like, if those books got canceled, you would get, like, the
main special, one,
the whatever, right? But yeah, so, like, if you're reading, what's the other Avengers book other than the Avengers? Is it, like, if you're reading Uncanny Avengers and that gets canceled, is that still a book? Is that still going on? I have no idea.
Yeah.
So if you're reading Uncanny Avengers and you get it through the mail and that gets canceled, they'll give you Mighty Avengers a thing?
Mighty Avengers is another one. That was, like, the all African-American team.
Yeah.
With Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah. So then they would give you that book because it has an A in the title.
And
they both got canceled. They'd give you...
Secret Avengers.
Yeah, Secret Avengers. And if all of those got canceled, you'd get Ant-Man because there's an A in the title. Just whatever. If all those got canceled, though, they would just probably shut down Marvel because that's really hard to do. Get all the Avengers books canceled. So, yeah.
So, you didn't like Cataclysm, huh?
Not really. It's a bit much. It's way better than the last time, the last one they did, but...
Is it over?
Oh, no, there's one more issue to go. There's, like, or... Like, there's the... Each story had their own three issues. And, I didn't read but the first issue of Ultimates and X-Men because I just was too bored. But I read all three issues of the Spider-Man one, and then there's going to be like Cataclysm, like the main thing, and then there's like another issue or two or three. I could probably look up the stupid flyer with like the 19,000 things that you have to read. There's only three books, so it shouldn't be that bad. I can't even find it online. Anyway. So what happens is Galactus is back, right? And everyone is scared poopless because Galactus is back. And he's just blowing up shit. And he's going to wreak havoc on Earth because no one can stop him. So Spider-Man, all he's doing is trying to save his city. And then he tells his dad that he's Spider-Man, which is stupid. And then his dad's like, oh no, you killed my brother. And you killed mom. And you're awful. And so Miles is like, that sucks. And then a plane crashes in the middle of their town. And Miles has to go save people. And then his dad disappears. And he's all like sad, trying to figure things out. Captain America calls him. And Cap is like, we found a way to kill Galactus, but we need your help. And that's how that ends. That's the end of the Spider-Man part of it. So next issue, they'll probably find a way to kill Galactus, but maybe there won't be any more New York City. Done. I've read you Cataclysm. It's just like, I don't know. It's, I guess it's neat that it's a short kind of event, but like, it's so, everyone's dying all the time and it's kind of boring. Like, it's one of those things where at a certain point, it's a similar problem to what they had when they did the big flood thing. What was that called? Was that called Cataclysm 2? The last time they killed the Ultimate Universe. Where, like, it's so grim, but, like, there's no meaning behind it. It's just like, well, we're going to kill these few things here, and everything's going to be really oppressively sad because it's whatever. But there's, like, no meaning behind it because it's all just like, eh, I guess they're going to kill those people next too, right? Yep, they're dead. Look. Explosions, boom, everyone's dead, so it's hard to care. It's really hard to care. Because Galactus.
This is Galactus, not Galactus, right?
Right. This is apparently the real deal. Not the one they fought last time. Which is different, but the same thing. Big purple dude. What with the eating of planets and stuff. It doesn't seem as big, though. Seems a little bit smaller.
I found a couple more books to talk about.
Number Great. Ones.
Let me see. Two number ones and a preview and a number 20. Hey.
Ooh, a number 20. That's impressive.
That's weird.
I'll start with that one. Deadpool number 20.
What?
What? Deadpool number 20. That's weird.
It is weird. Was it free?
No. $2.99. Well.
Why? Did it have the Sholi cover?
I had the Sholi cover.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew there had to be some catch to this trick you were playing on us, and I guessed it right away.
You got it. You figured it out. Yes, this is the Kirby-esque flashback issue with art by Scott Koblish in his Kirby-esque style. And it's about Deadpool going back through time, where he starts in Wakanda, and then he goes to, let's see, where does he go to next? Savage Land, I think. Yeah, Savage Land, and then the Negative Zone, and then he goes to China with Fing Fang Foom. And it was actually really good. So it was written by Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn, who I guess have been writing it for a little while now. And like I said, the art is totally Kirby-esque style. And there's lots of characters in here who I don't know, but are probably all well-known Kirby characters. It was good. And they even printed it like on kind of like yellowish pages.
Were all the covers Scholey covers, or was it the variant?
I don't know.
You ordered it on DCBS?
Yeah.
How did you know? Did Scholey post something?
I think I just saw it in previews.
Because you don't give a shit about Deadpool, do you?
No, I don't care about Deadpool.
See, I hate the character. I mean, that's one of the characters I just...
I know you hate him.
I'd buy it for the art, and that's it.
Yeah, it was good. It was funny. And yeah, the art was awesome.
I don't know if you heard the last episode, but I got the Freedom Force.
Yeah, I heard that you read the whole thing.
I read the whole thing. It was so fucking good. You haven't read the whole thing yet.
I'm up to... I read the first four, so I have to read the last two.
I beat you to it.
You blew through them quicker than I did.
I did, because I really got sucked in. Like, I got sucked into the world. Not only did I love the art, but I liked the
story.
Bronze Age type storytelling. I did. Yeah, I dug it.
It was well done. I mean, he was having fun, I think, with the dialogue, the corny dialogue.
Oh, the dialogue? Like, he'd have the El Gacho or whatever that guy was.
El Diablo.
His dialogue cracked me up. And then there was that one. God, what was her name?
Oh, Alchemist.
Alchemist, like M-I-S-S.
Their southern...
Yeah, her southern accent. It was great. And the way he did the dialogue, it wasn't, like, intrusive. Like, sometimes...
Yeah, it wasn't overdone.
It's distracting, like...
Like whenever anyone writes Gambit?
Like the cross. The crossed one.
Yeah, where you fight example. If you have to fight to understand what they're saying, then...
Yeah, it's like they didn't talk all the time like that. El Diablo was Spanglish, like.
Yeah, but it was just like one word per dialogue.
Yeah, it was totally Spanglish.
It was Spanish, though. Yeah, it was good. It was a fun story so far.
So Deadpool, you recommend?
I do. I recommend number 20.
Well, Koblish is the inker on Giffen, right? On the OMAC.
Yeah.
I think so. And then he did that He-Man book.
Right. Yeah, he did the He-Man.
So I wonder if he's the one that's responsible for making it more Kirby-esque than Giffen. I don't know. Is it the inker that makes it look like that, or is it the penciler? It's hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Giffen had to have been doing a Kirby-esque style.
Well, he's always had a Kirby-esque style, but for a while there.
Not back in the day, didn't though.
Yeah, when he was doing like Defenders, yeah, he definitely had a Kirby. Go look at his Moon Knight. Oh my God, it's when he went to the Legion that his style got really
okay. Like, so he started out more Kirby.
Got really weird. Yeah. Like more abstract. Like. What did he do? He did the Heckler, and he did...
I loved his art in that
Trencher?
Era. Yeah, Trencher, that was great.
Image.
Because that was that was more fine line art than chunky.
I thought it was not as... I don't know. There is a fine line, but it's more abstract anatomy, I think.
Yeah, it was more like Ted McKeever's style than...
Oh, much more, yeah.
Which I like, so... That's what I was used to, because that was the first stuff of his that's what I grew up reading, that stuff. So
I'm off on McKeever after I read the Jesus one, miniature Jesus.
Yeah, I gotta finish that Jesus. Yeah, he's out there.
I am for his artwork and I think it, but his writing is, he's fucking out there, man. I don't know, like, maybe you can read it and tell me exactly what he was. I felt like I was back at square one after I read the whole damn thing.
He's got a new book coming out too, doesn't he? I think so.
I think he does.
I think he had something announced it.
But I love the paper. If he does it in the same format, I will be suckered into
the oversized.
Fuck that! If comics were like that, I'd be fucking broke because I'm obsessed with it. It makes the art look good. Damn. And paper's paper. It's not that glossy shit. It's awesome.
got a couple others.
Starts suck. It does.
The glossy.
Yeah.
What else? Which is everything nowadays, almost.
Deadpool number 20. I'm gonna see if my shop still has that.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
Well, I'm just gonna do it for the art. Man, that character sucks.
Yeah, the art's great. The coloring is good too because it's all crazy. Well, it's Val Staples, so.
Well, I'm not gonna say it sucks for everybody because Deadpool definitely has a wicked following. I just can't.
You don't like his smart mouth.
I like Smart Mouse. I don't like his. I don't find him funny. And that's what he's supposed to be, I think.
Yeah. Well, you got Brian Posehn writing, so hopefully the humor is better. You have actual comedian doing the writing, so. I like Brian Posehn as a comedian.
He makes you laugh.
He makes me laugh.
He's got elevator jokes. Have you ever been in an elevator?
I also read Absolution Happy Kitty Special.
Oh.
So this is the Christos Gage does Absolution. I think there's been a couple Absolution miniseries. This is a one-shot Happy Kitty, which is one of his characters.
Did you read this without finishing Absolution?
Yeah, I never finished Absolution.
Damn it! Why? Why?
I don't even have all of Absolution. Maybe I do.
What makes you buy Happy Kitty when you don't even read the other Absolution?
Because I like Happy Kitty.
That's a good enough reason.
This is the Happy Kitty's origin. So Happy Kitty is this Japanese, I guess. I don't remember. I believe this Japanese woman. So this tells her who is a well-trained assassin. So this tells her history. It was awesome. Happy Kitty's a badass. And she has superpowers that enable her to kill people at will. Recommended, even if you didn't read Absolution. Actually, you don't need to read Absolution to enjoy this issue, because it really is just this, the origin story of this one character. Lots of killing. And it's funny, because they show her like when she's a little kid, and she's really good at video games. That's how they learn that they decide to raise her as a killer.
Because she's good at video games?
Yeah, she's good at killing in video games, and then they give her a gun and she, like, kills people. Like, interesting.
I just don't see the correlation.
She's really good at, like, first-person shooters. She's really good at killing people on video games. And, you know, people who are good at killing people in video games usually grow up to be expert killers in real life.
Oh, so if you're good at any of those games, you're probably a killer? Is that what your association you're making?
I'm not making the association.
It sounds like it to me. Send mail to bill@comicbooknoise.com.
Now, that's where they recognize her mutant abilities. That's good. Then my last one is Boss Snake Special one shot.
You got me on this one.
Boss Snake.
Boss Snake. So this was a Kickstarter for this Boss Snake Special because it's a spinoff of a comic called Doc Unknown by Fabian Wrangel Jr. and Ryan Cody. So the Kickstarter was for this Boss Snake Special, the Doc Unknown trade, and then the one I did, I also got a page of original art, and it was a good deal. But I got it because I was interested in the Boss Snake character. But first, I'll talk about. So I read the Doc Unknown trade, and Doc Unknown is kind of like a pulp.
Doc Unknown was not a Kickstarter.
I don't know.
I know, but you read it. You bought it off of Diamond.
No, I got it as part of the Kickstarter. The Kickstarter was for Boss Snake because I think the Doc Unknown.
Yeah, but how did you know? You said you got it because you like Doc Snake.
Boss Snake.
Box Snake.
Boss.
Boss Snake.
B-O-S-S. Yes.
Boss.
But if
based
how
on
could
what?
You, based on what? I'm so fucking confused.
Based on Doc Unknown.
Based on Doc Unknown, which I
but it came
read.
On the same Kickstarter, right?
Yes.
So that's Micah. Do you see what he's saying? It makes no sense.
Hold on. I'm gonna back up a little bit here.
It's an infinite loop.
There's a thing called Doc Unknown. Yes.
Yes, there is, but it came in the same Kickstarter that he bought Kingsnake.
Is it a webcomic?
Kingsnake. Boss Snake.
Is Doc Unknown exist in some outside thing first?
I learned of it through the Kickstarter, but they had sample stuff.
Were
so
you just
that's
searching
where I
Kickstarter for comics and saw one you liked?
I don't remember how I first found it.
Did you do this like 4 years ago and it's just not coming out?
That's what I. That's why I hate Kickstarter. He probably did this like 6 years ago and he's finally getting it.
Now this one wasn't that long of a wait because it was just for the specials. So. And they actually threw in another Doc Unknown single issue. So anyway, how I figured it out is irrelevant. But I liked the Boss Snake character from
You wrote the script. You wrote my lines.
I know.
You told interrupt me now.
Damn it, I've been hitting this part for like an hour. Why is this not shocking, though, son of a...
Why is it not shocking? He's screwing up his lines.
Still talking.
I'm so confused now. I had it, and now I'm lost. Like,
you missed the opening.
Didn't he get the revised pages? Son of a... Check the fucking email.
Bill writes our scripts for Geek Brunch.
Seriously, does it look like I have testicles for eyes?
He's like, Micah, laugh now. It says in the script.
Did Micah you say ox testicles?
Yeah, he got that off of my little reading of...
The Witching.
The Witching.
Oh, yeah.
Look into my ox testicles eyes.
What does it look like? I have ox testicles on my face?
To remember that one. That's a good line. So anyway, Doc Unknown is kind of like a pulpy hero who fights the unknown and fights the mysterious. So it's kind of like a pulpy kind of Hellboyish type thing. The art's really good. The story was interesting, but I really liked this character, Boss Snake. So I highly recommend the one-shot with Boss Snake. And Boss Snake is this mob boss who, he looks like a snake. He's got green skin and a kind of like a snake-looking face. And the Boss Snake one-shot talks about it's like his origin. So it talks about his life growing up, how he was abandoned as a child and raised by nuns. And then he got into boxing. And then he got pulled into the criminal world. And it kind of tells his rise to power in the criminal world. Awesome. I really enjoyed it. I actually like Boss Snake more than Doc Unknown. Doc Unknown was good, but Boss Snake was awesome.
I fucking love Boss Snake.
Boss Snake is the Boss Snake.
So, okay, never mind.
Snake of bosses.
I Googled it and a bunch of cars came up.
See, I always think about Metal Gear. When I hear Boss Snake, I think of Metal Gear, so.
Boss Snake, it's like a yellow-looking Mustang. What the hell?
Oh, that thing.
Oh, yeah. Boss Snake. Mustang,
I know that,
Boss Snake.
But,
Boss Snake comic.
Love, Cold Steel Noir meets the Red Hitter Bob.
It is. Yeah, you can see, you'll find the Kickstarter.
200
I hear Boss Snake
in the first week.
Boss Hog.
Doc Unknown, he's green. Oh, it's just bad lighting.
He does have like a... Well, I don't know if the covers look like Hellboyish, but All the images look Hellboyish.
Oh, the style?
Yeah.
Yeah, the art style. Yeah, it is a little bit.
I still can't see a good image for this boss snake.
Keep going down the list. You'll get one. Boss snake. Cold blood. Cold streets.
If you go to the Kickstarter, it's the image on the...
I'm getting the video game guy.
Yeah, Big Boss.
Comic. Yeah, Gear. Big Boss.
That's what I was thinking. Whenever you say boss
then snake... Then I have a snake eater, and then I have this fucking yellow car all over, like 100 images of it.
Well, snake eater is... That's, one of the Metal Gear things.
Can I go Boss Snake Cold Blood?
I got Snake Plissken.
No, not
Escape from New York?
Escape from New York, yeah.
I see one image where he's wearing a white jacket and a tie.
Yeah, that's it.
That's Boss Snake.
That's Boss Snake.
So and that is the shit, huh?
It's good.
I'd rather read about Big Boss.
I'd rather drive this yellow car.
It's a nice looking car.
It is.
Uh-oh.
So, highly recommended Boss Snake. Where do they get that at?
I don't know.
Well, you're not very helpful if you're like recommending it and you don't know where anybody can get it.
I'm sure you can get it online or at your local convention.
That's tough.
I don't know. I'll find a link.
So these guys haven't been able to publish in Diamond, is what you're saying. How did you ever run across it to say I like it?
I don't remember.
6 years ago. That's right.
Someone probably linked to it.
Somebody sent you a link?
I said someone probably linked to it somewhere.
Oh. So are we done with comics?
Yeah.
TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's dead silence. There's no TV.
All right, I watched an anime. I watched this one. I'm not done with it yet. It's called Persona. This kid transfers into a new high school, living with, I have no idea, some family, some like estranged family member or whatever. And it's this old dude who's a cop and his daughter who is like six, maybe six. And he meets these new friends, and in this town, people are starting to be murdered. And they're murdered in weird ways, and no one knows the cause of murder. But they show up hanging upside down somewhere. And at midnight, on rainy night, if you watch television, you'll get a glimpse of the person who's going to die. And they'll be doing something weird. So, this kid and his friends end up getting sucked into a television somehow. And that leads them into whatever world, this other, like... demonic type world place where they find the people who are being murdered or being kidnapped into this world, and they fight monsters to try to keep them from being killed. And one of the things that goes on is that when you fall into this world, if you get kidnapped and brought into it, you get shown a sort of negative version of yourself, and you have to come to grips with whatever bullshit is going on in your life or whatever is actually a part of you. So you have to come to terms with being like a whiny brat or having to work too hard and having friends and actually wanting to be good to your friends and all this kind of stuff. It's like, it works in the show. And, but yeah. And it's actually really good. I was actually surprised by it. So.
Is it recent?
2011, I think.
Yeah, so pretty recent.
So, recent
enough.
Sounds
confusing.
That is really, it's actually really good and easy to follow. It's actually a lot of fun.
Is that streaming somewhere or is it?
No, I haven't.
Some weird place to find it.
don't know. You just find it anywhere. They sell it on the internet. Let me see if it's streaming somewhere, though. Might be on Hulu or Crunchyroll or one of those places. It's hard to tell these days. Everything's everywhere. It's on Hulu Plus.
There you go. They have lots of anime on there.
Yeah, it's on Hulu Plus. Oh, I think it's also on... Is it also on Hulu?
I'll be right back. I have to clean Harley off.
What was Harley doing?
She's rubbing a... She goes out there every 5 minutes and hangs out in the sun. And then we have, like, it's winter time and it's grass. All the grass is, like, comes off on her and she rolls around in it. So she looks like a camouflaged dog after she's... She keeps doing that. I don't know why she does it. I watched the Shipping Wars, and I don't remember if any of you guys watch it, but one of the ladies is pregnant now, and she's shipping stuff. She's like 8 months pregnant, and I don't understand why she's shipping stuff.
Gotta work. Got a job.
Because she, like, drives there, and then she makes the people that pay her to ship stuff load the truck.
Of course. She's pregnant. She can't pick it up herself.
Yeah, they like, feel bad. They're like, oh, she's pregnant. We gotta load the truck for her. So, that's weird. And the Jared guy's still winning all kinds of auctions because he lets it go down to the lowest possible price, and then he says, oh, yeah, I'll take it. And then he ends up making $20 or something. I think he lives in his truck or something. Just so he can... I'm sure the show pays him something. And Dracula, I'm addicted to that show. The Coven is another great show I'm caught up on. And I'm watching Arrow on Netflix.
Yeah, you like that, don't you?
I'm only 14 episodes in, but I really like it.
It was too CW for me.
Yeah, you got that pretentiousness about you.
If anything's pretentious, it's CW shows.
No, it's just because everybody looks pretty, I think is what Bill means. Everybody.
It's very dramatic.
I don't think it's dramatic. I think it's the way people look and the design of the show.
Yeah.
It makes it, like, for teenagers.
No, people are pretty angsty.
I mean, yeah.
On Arrow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
There's all the stuff about the...
But you could say that about the Coven, too, on American Horror Story.
We haven't watched that one.
That was brutal. Micah would have hated the last episode.
I'm still making my way through the last season.
Micah would have hated it, I think. It was brutal. Kathy Bates she's a slaver. And at least she was back in the day, and now she seems like she's immortal. She can't die. And now it's a brutal show. Like, it's like rated R. There's no fine line.
Well, you reminded me. I've been watching that show, Hollywood Treasures, I think it's called. Which is, it's like a reality show about the guy who owns Profiles in History, who does all the Hollywood auctions. And they did. It reminded me because on the last episode I saw, they had they were looking at the house they used in the first season of American Horror Story because it was up for sale. So they were considering putting it in an auction. And it was
interesting.
It was pretty cool. I mean, the house pretty much, they didn't really change very much for the show. You can tell why they picked the house because everything, all the scenes that were filmed in the house were all in that one house. Like, all the rooms were exactly where they were. They didn't make any sets or anything. It was all right in that house. basement and everything. It's like, dang. It was a nice house. It's huge, too. I think it was like, I can't remember now, like 4,800 square feet or something like that.
Yeah.
Nice. Four stories. That's a good show. I'm enjoying that show. They show a bunch of, they go around to different places looking for stuff to put on auction and then show the actual auctions for them and how much the stuff gets.
It's a little too CW for me, but I'll give it a shot.
They show a lot of good stuff. They show stuff from lots of sci-fi type stuff.
I've been watching a lot of TV lately, so I don't usually. I'm not reading as much. It's a damn shame.
I know. What happened to the 40, 50 issue weeks?
I don't know.
Burned yourself out.
Gonna have to step up and watch more TV. No, I mean read more comics.
You're gonna become like Micah. Keith.
Keith is reading, doesn't read any comics.
We also watched the show called Bomb Girls.
What was the other one called again? I want to write it in the show notes.
Hollywood something or another.
Hollywood Treasures.
Okay.
I think that's what it's called. I can't remember what channel that's on.
How much did the house go for?
It was for sale for, they're expecting, I think it was between 7 and 8 million.
Holy crap.
They're going to list it as.
Small change.
How much square footage?
I think it was over 4,000.
Oh.
But obviously they're adding on to that just because it's a, since it's a famous house now. And it was also like a landmark, like, because it's really old. So yeah. Oh, go ahead.
What is this one? This other show you said?
Bomb Girls.
Bomb Girls?
Yeah, it's a Canadian show. Yeah. And it takes place during some war. It takes place during a war, which I should know what war. But my history is very bad.
Current war or like World War I, World War II?
One of the world wars. Let me see what year it's supposed to take place in. Well, it must be like in the 50s, maybe. It's got to be World War II. So it takes place, we'll say, during World War II. And it's about the girls or the women who work. So it's in the 40s. And it's the girls and the women. I keep saying girls. What a sexist bastard I am. It's the dames that work in the the bomb factories where they're making the bombs for the.
Did you just say dames? That's not a better term.
ladies.
That's better.
The sexy ladies who are working. Wait, what? I'm trying to read this script and I spilled some water on it, so I'm having a hard time reading the words.
I don't know. How come I don't have a buzzer when you fuck that up?
I was about to reverse buzzer in.
Well, your buzzer didn't work for shit, so I guess it doesn't do anything.
So it doesn't matter. Well, you know, it costs me like about $7 a minute just to buzz you over the G4 or whatever. What am I, G4? My phone is a G1, I think. Yeah, so this is about the women who are in the factory making the bombs when all the men went off to war, so they couldn't obviously work in the factories. So it's interesting from a historical perspective, and it's also interesting because it's the time when women started to, I guess, step out of, in terms of society, stepping out of the kitchen and into the workforce. So it's really, really well done. This was the first season. I think there was like 6 or 8 episodes. And then there was a second season, too. I have to figure out how to track that one down.
How are you watching it?
That one was on, they aired it on some station at some point. It was on my TiVo. This next season, I got to figure out how I'm going to track it down.
Because it says GTN. I don't know what GTN is. Global Television Network. I never heard of that.
Sure, the Global Television Network. I don't know. It's good, though. It's real good. I recommend it. And one of the characters, the husband of one of the women, is one of the characters on the other Canadian show I'm watching, which is Regenesis. Which Regenesis continues to be awesome. I only have 4 episodes left, though, so I'm sad. Soon I will be done. It'll be a sad day. That's an awesome show about science and viruses. Transmittable diseases.
Is it Canadian?
Yeah, Canadian.
You're racist towards American TV.
I'm not racist, I'm biased.
You're biased?
I watch plenty of American TV shows.
No, it's all to CW for you.
Which I watch, 2 1/2 Men and
no, you
Molly
don't.
And Molly and Louie or whatever.
Do you really watch the 2 1/2 Men?
No. I do not. Do I seem like a type of person who would watch that?
I think so. But you'd be a passerby watching it. Does Melanie watch that?
No. No. She does watch Arrow, though.
Yay! Yeah!
But she likes that CW stuff. You should start watching Vampire Diaries. You probably like that, too.
Screw you. Global Television Network. What the hell's this?
I don't think I get that channel. It sounds good.
Well, Robert Rodriguez has his own station now called something, but we don't get it.
He's a TV station?
Yeah, he's his own cable station. And he's got like all kinds of like cool grindhouse shit on it, and he's got like what was that movie From Dusk Till Dawn? He's got like the TV show From Dusk Till Dawn on it.
I know there was a TV show.
It's new. That's why you don't know.
Speaking of grindhouse, this is a weird, strange segue. I recently decided to finally start watching Breaking Bad. So I've watched the first season and half of the second season. And the reason I mention it with a tie to Grindhouse is because I just watched the episode with the what's his face? What's that guy's name? Now I'm blanking on his name.
Well, which episode are you talking about?
I'm talking about the machete guy.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, the Danny Trejo episode. Even though he's only in it for about 5 minutes. So I'm finally watching Breaking Bad. It's good, but it's very stressful.
Oh, I'm on season 3, episode 10 or something. So I got past the Danny Trejo thing. But it is awesome. It is an awesome show.
Stressful, though.
It is. There's a lot of anxiety. I like the way they open up every show. It's weird. This Global Television Network took me to a site, and it's like a Hulu thing. It says watch full prime time, full episodes of Hawaii 5-0, everything. What the hell? So could I type in bomb girls? Bomb girls. Yeah, it's here. I'll click on it and see what it says.
Probably not available. It's loading. In this
country. It says full episodes. Season one. It has all of season one. I could watch it right now.
There you go.
Oh, it says you're not subscribed.
Oh, there you go. Oh, is it like one of those HBO to go or something?
There's your link, right? I mean, no, it's like a, I guess more like a Hulu. I have to pay for it.
Oh, yeah, start your free trial. I don't think I've watched anything else. I did watch some movies, though, if you guys don't have any more TV.
Sure, let's go ahead.
I've actually seen some recent movies. I saw the Walter Mitty movie.
Oh, I wanted to see that. Is that good?
It's pretty good.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was good. I went and had a couple of issue problems, but overall it was kind of predictable. But besides that, it was well done. I thought I enjoyed it. And I also saw the Frozen movie, which is the new Disney movie, and that was actually really good. So we took the kids to see that, and we all enjoyed it. It was a good story for the kids, and there were a lot of really funny parts in it too. So, and the music was tolerable. No, it was good. It was a well done Disney movie. I liked it.
You see that one, Micah?
Nope.
I'm surprised.
I've been to the movie theater.
Don't you like those movies, though? Those kind of movies?
Typically.
Yeah.
I can wait for it.
And I also finally saw Despicable Me 1 and 2 and How to Train Your Dragon number 1.
You hadn't seen either Despicable Me 1 or How to Train Your Dragon?
Nope.
Oh.
I know. It was weird.
You missed out.
I didn't miss out. I saw them. Now I'm ready for How to Train Your Dragon 2. With Black Mage or whatever his name was. Dark Knight. Dark Fire.
Toothless?
Yeah. What kind of dragon was that?
I don't know. Dark and Toothless.
Dark
Fish.
Meyer. Yes, Toothless.
What is that new Marky Mark movie? I saw that one.
Oh, I saw an old Marky Mark movie.
Italian Bob.
I saw Two Guns.
Oh, that's a good one.
You talked about that before.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I liked it. That was good. Never read the comic. Do you read the comic?
Yeah, I'm on Three Guns now. Okay. Two Guns.
I saw that. So which did you see? Or The Hustle?
No. I'm going to have to look it up. Lone Survivor, thank you.
Oh, the war one?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
That was really good. It's brutal.
Supposed to be very realistic, right?
Yeah, and it's by the guy who does Friday Night Lights, so it's exactly like a Friday Night Lights type.
Wait, Peter Berg?
Yeah, it's Peter Berg.
I didn't know
just
it was Peter
Berg. Battleship.
It is filmed just like, you know, once you see a Peter Berg thing, you could like tell by the music and the way he does things. You could tell. I've watched enough Friday Night Lights to know.
And Battleship.
Does it have Riggs in it?
He is. Riggins is in it.
Oh, Riggins, he is. he's in all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, Riggins. Riggins is in it. Mark Wahlberg, Ben Foster. I don't know who the fourth guy was. But they go on a reconnaissance type thing to go look up two guys in Al-Qaeda and get photos and all that stuff. And their technology, they have two problems. Their technology, like their satellite communications, isn't working right. And their comm, like just the regular unclear comm phones stop working. And then they run into a band of like goat herders that have like three people. One's a really old guy, like probably 60 some, and a really young kid, maybe 7, and a pro Al Qaeda late teenager. Like you would, and they have like a walkie talkie, so you know they're in communication with Al Qaeda. And even though they were just herding goats or whatever, they run into them, so they have like a, you know, do we kill them? Do we tie them up, or do we just let them go? And they decide to let them go. And that one kid who they knew was trouble just goes down the hill like in no time and tells the army that those guys are up there. And then it's just like a chase scene, and those guys don't have a chance because they're totally outnumbered. And those guys have like rocket launchers, so they like just shoot a rocket launcher at the rocks that they're near. And so they end up hurting themselves a lot just jumping mountains, like just vertically trying to go down the mountain by bruising themselves, you know, just jumping literally to try to get away. But it's a pretty good movie. I really liked it. So it's based on a true story. At the end of the film, they actually show the footage of the actual soldiers and how many people died and all that stuff. It's a sad thing.
Looks like Peter Berg wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
But he didn't write Battleship. He only directed it. That was his mistake.
Battleship's not that bad. It's just like a Transformer movie. Did you watch any movies, Micah?
No. Well, it's not true. I watched Stray Dogs. It's an Akira Kurosawa movie. One of his earlier ones. It's about a detective who has his gun stolen in 1946 in Japan. This is for that film class I was telling you guys about. And so this dude has his gun stolen, and he's a rookie, basically. And so he's trying to go find it back. And he's having a really, really bad day at it so far. Well, day, like a couple weeks. And so he basically stumbles through Japan in the middle of the summer, in the immediate aftermath of World War II. Where things are hot and there's no food. And this movie does a better job than any movie I think I've ever seen before of conveying how hot the environment is. Like, everyone is constantly sweating. Everyone is like oppressed by the heat. Like, it looks sweltering all the time. Like, everyone is always trying to drink cold things or putting ice near themselves or fanning themselves because there's no air conditioning or anything like that, right? So it's just this miserable hotness, and it's really impressive how well it comes through. Better than things I've seen even recently that are supposed to be hot. Like, they don't have the same level of like awful stickiness to it. That's it. I'm only halfway through it. Good movie, though, so far at least. For something made in the 40s.
It's called Stray Dogs. Is it a
Stray Dog? I think it's just one dog. Stray Dog.
Is it a?
It's on
captioned Hulu Plus, or I think. What?
Yeah, it's subtitled. I think it's on Hulu, but we're watching it in class, so I don't have to worry about that.
All right, I think we're done with movies now, just food. I ate a falafel yesterday.
That's tasty.
It was okay. It was like a really bad chorizo. It tasted like chorizo to me.
Well, Bojangles for breakfast today. It was good.
All right.
Leg and a thigh, some fried chicken, some macaroni and cheese, some french fries.
For breakfast?
And a biscuit. Yeah.
I just usually get one of those breakfast biscuits.
Oh, no. Full on chicken and
fries. You ate lunch.
Basically.
Yeah. I like that chicken place.
What chicken place?
Bojangles.
We don't have that.
We don't have them here, but at Heroes Con, there's one inside the convention.
That's right.
That's good, Bill. You should have some chicken. Eat more chicken. Eat more chicken.
It's practically fish.
Yeah, it practically is. It's just the land-based fish. What'd you eat, Bill? Over the holidays, you had to eat something interesting. Yeah. You have to have eaten something that'll piss off Daryl.
What have I eaten lately that's super delicious that would piss off Daryl? I don't remember. I tried a new baked bean recipe.
Oh.
Still, my favorite one is the first one I tried. Which I don't remember what the difference between any of them is. I've tried a bunch of them.
What is the recipes? You put, like, brown sugar, ketchup, baked beans?
The first one, I don't think I had ketchup. I had beans. Yeah, brown sugar probably, molasses, onions.
Yeah.
Good. What else have I had? Dang, I don't even know. I'm hopeless.
So you had a 2-week vacation and you didn't eat anything special. You just stuck to your beet burger and your...
beet burger and baked beans.
And baked beans.
And we had tofurkey on Christmas.
Tofurkey,
delicious.
Does everybody partake in tofurkey or is there a real turkey?
No, there's a real turkey too.
Ah.
It was either turkey or ham. I don't know. One of those. You can do a couple of different things.
But at least you treat people right that want meat.
Yeah.
You don't say you have to eat this tofurkey.
Yeah. I mean, they have to eat out on the back porch, but. Wii, what are you going to play on Wii? It's fine.
Why do you make them eat in the porch?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I thought you were really...
It's too cold to eat on the porch here. We had a lot of snow. It's cold. This winter has sucked here.
I just watched Buck Rogers and they were outside of Chicago. Gil Gerard and Twiggy. Dr. Theopolis.
I know they had a Chicago episode.
They were in the scorched earth. That's when the first episode of the pilot.
Hmm. Beedy, beedy, beedy. Okay, beedy, Buck. Beedy.
All right, I think we are done.
Sweet.
This has been Geek Brunch episode 197.
Mm-mm.
And I will get this one out. Didn't you just do 196?
Wait, did I? I thought I did 196. Maybe you're right. You might be right. Hold on. I don't know.
190-something.
And let's say 197. That might be right.
You can reach us on the Twitters at DBM00. That's Bill. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch, and Micah is, good Lord, do underscore what? All lowercase. It's not case sensitive.
Does it matter? I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
it
doesn't matter. There's no question mark at the end of do underscore what.
Micah is Kung Pao Micah.
Kung Pao Micah. And we're on the Facebooks as Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in there. And then you can click the like button. You can send a script. If you don't like the way Bill scripts it, I'd encourage you to send an email to him at bill@comicbooknoise.com because he scripts every episode.
That's right.
He puts in there sometimes awkward pause, you know, like, and then we have to be quiet for like a little bit.
Yeah. Those are the pregnant pauses. They're very important to the build up the tension.
Yeah.
It's all about tension building and tension release.
He's practicing his way into Hollywood through our podcast. Mike at comicbooknoise.com and Micah at comicbooknoise.com. And I think that's it. We have Forum for Geeks, although nobody visits there, and I've stopped posting. but if you post something, I'll eventually find it.
Better to just go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page. It's more active. And I think that's it.
And you can see me looking like a serial killer, apparently.
Yes. Did you see the picture of Knutson on Facebook?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I look like a serial killer, huh?
We needed a picture of you guys, like, with an arm around each other. And then, like, holding up a number, you know? Like, just... And then a side profile shot with the number there, too. I think that's it. Go enjoy some football now, Bill. I know you want to know who wins between the Broncos and the Patriots.
Yes, go one of those two teams.
Thank God he dropped the ball just now.
Who?
One of the Broncos. I'm rooting against the Broncos, right. Even though I hate both teams, though.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning's really annoying.
I don't like
and the his Papa John's commercials. Other commercials.
I'm abnormally hungry. I ate a breakfast burger for breakfast, but I'm still hungry.
Now you need a lunch burger.
At Bojangles and now I want some chicken. A big bucket of chicken. Spicy chicken. Is your Bojangles, did you get the Cajun style or did you get the just regular?
Oh, just regular.
Ah, I like the spicier one.
Mm.
All right, well, you guys have a good week. Have a good week at school and work.
Study hard.
Lots of comics.
Let's see what and I can do.
Send us script changes if you'd like to Bill at comicbooknoise.com.
That's right, and if you guys will hang around after the show, I have a few words to... a couple ad libs there that we need to talk about.
Micah, you came in just a little too late.
A little too late, my bad.
With your dog story.
I'll find the dog faster next time. Apologies.
Bill was really upset about that. He started hitting the shock button on me because you.
My apologies. Where did I fall on you?
Where is he? And I'm like,
stop, I don't know. He's looking for a dog.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
The Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. Oscar-winning rabbit, Bugs Bunny.
And also starring my fast feathered friend, the Roadrunner.
Roadrunner, meep meep. The child is after you. Roadrunner, meep meep. If he catches you, you're through. Roadrunner, meep meep. The child is after you. Roadrunner, if he catches you, you're through. The child is really great. He's wild.
Meep meep.
The Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour.